B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. There was a press conference, a daily briefing on Saturday for President Trump in the White House following a conference call that took place between Trump and all of the commissioners of the major sports in the United States that were on a noontime call on Saturday. You know what? Before we get back into this, what we started the day with, are you surprised more details of that call haven't emerged?
Yeah, I feel like it just seems very, very vague. Like there wasn't a discussion or, you know, back and forth or questions. Hey, here we got Vice President Pence in here. We have all of our, heads of all the departments. Do you have any questions that you guys have as a league for your respective league? Go ahead, fire away right now.
I feel like we'd have more. We'd have a better understanding of what was even said on the call, but we really don't.
No, I would have thought like one of these commissioners or one of the people that they speak to would have then in turn spoken to one of the reporters that they're friendly with, and we would have gotten some more information. And the only explanation, Beetle, is that it was one of these things where it was more of like a rah-rah conference call. Like, hey, we're doing everything we can. I know you guys haven't made any decisions yet, but let's get it back together, because how much could really be decided in a conference call like that when you've got commissioners on from football, baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, and the president on? Is anyone going to tip their hand and say what they're planning on doing? Because these guys are in competition with each other. We talk about it all the time, especially with the NFL, how they want to own certain nights and they want to own certain parts of the sports calendar. So, you know, with regard to what was actually decided and an unwillingness for some of these commissioners to really let the others know what they were doing, maybe there wasn't all that much to leak out, and that's why we haven't heard anything.
I thought we were going to get a cancellation of one or two. Like, you know, hey, NHL, doesn't look like you guys are going to be able to go. So let's get that out there. And I think that's, you know, it's why I pick football, because it's the furthest one off that has the best chance to come back and maybe on time.
I was not expecting that at all, to be cancellations coming out of it, because, I mean, that goes against everything Trump has sort of been talking about. I mean, last night,
reiterating the need to get things open. Right?
Yeah,
I mean, I know he wants to open, but like it's like the realization of you're not going to be able to put people in stands. And if your teams and if your players' associations don't want to play in empty arenas, guys, we can't go on with your season. So it's probably in the best interest. We announced that hockey is canceled for the year. Or, you know. See, it's going to be tough for the NBA. See, NBA wants to play, too, with the TV money. Like, they want to put games on. That's a big market out there for them. You know, it's really them and the NFL that want to get this thing up and running the most, probably.
So, according to multiple reports, Trump said on the call that he is hopeful the NFL season will open on time, and he also urged the NFL to continue with their plans to hold the NFL draft starting on April 23rd. That's according to a number of reports, including USA Today, who had that item. They have this one item coming out of that call. I mean, this is really the thing that I took away, because it seems to be the most heavily reported thing and really the only reported thing of substance that came out of that call. NFL, you got to get going on time. You got to start in September, urging the league to get going on a normal schedule. I don't know how realistic that is. Maybe it's completely realistic. Maybe it's completely unrealistic. Everything seems to be changing by the day, but I think out of the four major sports and out of all the ones we've talked about, they've got the best shot to have some semblance of a season. I think that it's over for the NHL and for the NBA. I think baseball is going to have a hard time getting it done, but could eventually piece something together that won't look at all or feel at all like a normal season. The NFL's got the best chance. That's what I think. And I think the NFL knows it too.
Yeah. Yeah, they really do. And the NFL, like I said earlier in the show, they're lucky. They got a horseshoe shoved right up their butt on a lot of things. And, you know, and we'll get to the pro football talk stuff about them even spreading it out more if there's no high school or college football. But I don't want to see them, you know, just have five days of football per week. Keep it on Sundays. On, you know, that's something that I think people have the ability to look forward to the most out of any of these sports. And because of the start time again, I mean, they're going to be able to adjust because I think – you know, some guys with their age of 23 and older, I know there's some young guys in the league at 21, but now you're an employee, and I think you take your work, your job serious. You're going to work out on your own. You're going to be more readily equipped physically and mentally to start maybe on a shortened and tightened up type, I don't want to say OTA period or preseason type period, but that's the facts. And I think the younger you get with the players, the more irresponsible they are and maybe more immature, that they're not going to be able to get their bodies ready unless they're told what to do and assemble in groups. Individually, I think the NFL players should be able to, you know, study this thing, get ready, and I think this puts it out there to give them some hope to be ready to go on time.
So I think the one thing that will get in their way, though, and can always get in their way, will be governors.
Sure.
And individual states. Over the weekend, in the daily conference, in the daily, I guess, briefing in New York, Governor Cuomo said, I would love to see sports back to help with cabin fever, but this is not about hopes and dreams and aspirations and what you would like to see. He said, follow the data, follow the science, let the healthcare professionals tell you when it's safe to reopen, and that's when you reopen. That was his sort of statement about it on Saturday. The governor of California, Gavin Newsom, had this to say on Saturday about it as well. We'll have that for you in 1 second. And so he sort of had a statement that he does not anticipate. He went further than Cuomo, just to summarize what he said. He doesn't anticipate that September will be the appropriate time to sort of let people start gathering again. Here is that audio.
The president today was meeting with the heads of the sports leagues, and all the reports are that he is urging them to resume playing as soon as possible, including starting the NFL season on time late this summer with fans in the stands. Do you believe that California is going to be in a position where you will feel comfortable with 80,000 people going to football games in California in August and September?
I'm not anticipating that happening in the state. Let me tell you why, Ron. We all have seen the headlines of the last couple of days in Asia where they were opening up certain businesses. Now they're starting to roll back those openings because they're starting to see some spread. There's a boomerang. One has to be very cautious here. One has to be careful not to overpromise. It's interesting. I have a lot of friends that work in Major League Baseball and then in the NFL. They've been asking me, in fact, a well-known athlete just asked me, a football player, if he expects to come back. I said I would move very cautiously in that expectation. So, look, I'm not here to second-guess anybody, but I am here to say this. Our decision on that basis, at least here in the state of California, will be determined by the facts, will be determined by the health experts, will be determined by our capacity to meet this moment, bend the curve, and have the appropriate community surveillance and testing to confidently determine whether or not that's appropriate. And right now, I'm just focusing on the immediate, but that's not something I anticipate happening in the next few months.
That's from California. Again, these roadblocks of the individual states could get in the way if there are still the no large gatherings. That would obviously mean no fans, but there is a way to get around that. Is play with no fans, and there's a way to make up for the revenue. Mike Florio's got an answer on that, how the league could expand their schedule to make more money despite there being this crisis and pandemic that we are dealing with. In addition to that, there is another roadblock. There could be legal problems for the league playing these games. Michael McCann has something on that. We'll tell you about all of it coming up next.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, doesn't believe that college football or high school football will happen this fall. I actually agree with him. I think he's on to something there. But in addition to that, he says as a result, the NFL is going to dominate. They're going to play games, and this is his theory, Thursday nights per usual. Then they're going to add Friday night games. They're going to add three windows on Saturday, the same as Sunday, 1, 4, 8:30. They're going to play out in nine different windows to be able to maximize viewership, maximize ad revenue, and use it as a way to dominate what will be an empty sports calendar at the start of the year. So we'll see if that comes true. Michael McCann of SI says there's a number of legal hurdles for sports in coming back. He wrote this following what happened over the weekend, which is a conference call with the commissioners. So he's now saying that collective bargaining agreements will give some answers on this about how to sort of proceed, but it won't answer every question. He says, for instance, testing of players for COVID-19 will require detailed procedures that haven't been negotiated by management and their players. And the procedures will also necessitate the advice of medical experts. The same can be said of measures to reduce the risk of players. So there's one element there that would have to be figured out. Financial considerations would have to be figured out as to what players will end up getting paid. You know, what's your salary going to be? That's sort of uncertain. That needs to happen. He says the interplay between federal, state, and local laws also impacts when sports will return, because state municipalities have the legal authority to determine public safety procedures. That's the governor angle of this. And so there are certain states that can block what they're doing. So testing would have to be negotiated. Salaries would have to be negotiated. The municipalities and the states would have to allow the games to happen. And from a lawyer's perspective, he sees this being sort of tedious or I guess something that could really weigh this down, right? It could really stop it in its tracks.
Yeah, the longer you push things off. And then the courts have the ability to do that.
But I still don't understand why Florio or anyone else, and I understand there are different aspects to consider when you're talking about student-athletes and student bodies. And you're talking about the student-athletes who may not be as disciplined in the offseason. I get all that. But from a public health perspective, why is it so much more difficult for collegiate or high school football to come back in the fall, whereas it's, I don't want to say it's a foregone conclusion that the NFL will have some sort of a season, but that seems to be the prevailing notion that the NFL will be back, and Florio and others think that for high school and college, it just can't happen. I mean, what's the difference from a public health perspective between college and high school football and the NFL?
Do you mean public health in terms of players' health or fans' health?
Both.
Both.
Okay, well, fans' health, I think you can play the games without fans there, number one. So I think that without fans is the number one thing that I think does happen at some point in the NFL, whether that's the entire season or a portion, who knows. But I think that has to be considered as a real possibility. As far as the players' health goes, I think the NFL would be willing to try and create the sense of a safer environment through testing or whatever it is that they choose to do to make it seem like they're really looking out for their guys. I think the harsh reality is, Hardy, that the guys in the NFL make serious paychecks and the league is going to say, get your ass out there and play. And they can't do that in college. Because most of the guys in college are not going pro. Most of them are not going to the NFL. And so they're not going to do that to college students. And the college students would say, no, some of them would, not all of them. A lot of them would say no because they don't have as much to gain. And the other thing is, are college campuses welcoming students back in the fall? That's a variable that the NFL does not have to deal with. Right. They don't have to consider that even a little bit. They pay these guys. They pay them well. They're going to say, get your ass back to work. And most of them will listen and do it. And that's, I think, the difference.
Well,
kind of same thing with the NCAA too. I mean, if you're a Division I athlete, you're on scholarship, they own you too. Like, we're paying your full ride. Get back to practice.
And I don't think the financial implications for, you know, colleges are anything less than what the NFL is dealing with. Yeah, the numbers are bigger, but these colleges depend on football for a significant amount of revenue, and they're not going to be able – they won't dismiss the notion of having football go away just because it might be more difficult. And, look, it goes both ways. You know, with an NFL team – there are fewer players, right? You know, the rosters in college are a lot bigger, so there are more kids getting together. But if campuses are back and there are students on campus and they're attending classes, I don't see it as that big of a leap to having football. And you talk about playing games without fans, that can go for college too. It's maybe, you know, part of a bigger game day experience in colleges, but I don't know that I'm surprised, and I have yet to hear good solid reasoning as to why it would be back for the NFL.
Because they pay
college.
Them. Because they pay them. That's a major difference. If you don't pay them in college, you can't compel them to really do anything. Scholarship be damned. And the other thing is, these colleges should know better because they are on the gravy train of free labor and have been forever. And this would be the time where you just don't want to poke that bear. Where you're forcing kids to come back and play in a situation where it doesn't quite feel right. And the NFL will gladly do that in a situation that doesn't quite feel right. If you want to go ahead and do that, I think you're going to catch more crap now than you've ever caught before for not paying your guys in college.
Yeah, I think you're overestimating a college football player's or just a college student in general and their assessment of their personal health versus doing what they want to do. And what they want to do is play football. You're operating under the notion that a college football player is going to say, well, for my own personal health, I'm not going to play, and you can't make me because you're not paying me. I think most college football players, most college students in general, want to get back to what they were doing. And for a college football player, that's, yeah, maybe going to class, but it's playing football. That's what they want to do more than they want to keep safe. Most of them right now, if you were to ask them, they would probably be fine with having spring ball and resuming their football activities right now. You make it sound like there's going to be this groundswell and there's going to be this almost like a unionization of college football players where they're going to say, no, it's not safe for us to be back and play. Nonsense. They're going to want to play. Especially if the NFL is playing, they're going to say, wait a second, they're playing, how come we can't play? I don't think just because, and they also, Beetle, they don't operate under the notion that they're not going pro. Most of these guys are thinking they're going to be the next, you know, Julian Edelman. They're going to be the next undrafted guy that somehow shows up at a camp and gets a spot on a team. That's part of the mindset of an athlete and of a high-level college athlete. These guys want to play football. I don't think if they're going to err on one side or the other, they're going to say, you know what, people are getting back to normal. We should be getting back to normal, too, and we should be playing.
Yeah, I think there is a difference, and I think that the NFL has got a far better chance of making a go of it. And I think that lesser leagues are not on the same plane.
I would just say football in general, just because of the timeline. Football in general has the greatest chance of having something approaching a normal season, and I would include college in that as well. I don't draw that hard line between the NFL and college in terms of whether they're going to be able to play or not. It mostly has to do with the calendar, not to do with student athletes versus professional athletes. I just can't make that leap.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. Hardy has headlines. Get you caught up on things. There is big news in the golf world today about some of the scheduling that will – rescheduling, I should say, that is taking place. Hardy has all the details on that. Also, more on Tom Brady's trip to Tampa and choice of Tampa Bay. There's some information, an inside look at how things went down in Tampa. We'll tell you about it next.
important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five is the phone number. Zoe put an item in our Slack thread over the weekend, but he put it in the wrong day.
I didn't put the day. I just touched Slack and he put post.
You put it in the Friday thread, but
my problem.
Whose problem is it then?
Well, you know the trick to it. It's the last one you've read. So sometimes on like a Thursday, Zoe will throw something in Monday's folder because he hasn't read anything all week.
Well, listen, I side with Zoe on this. I've done the same thing by accident. I put things into the wrong thread. It's whatever is open last on your phone. I appreciate you contributing to the thread, Zoe. What did you contribute? Because I didn't see it.
The covert operation that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers named their pursuit for Tom Brady. I thought it was unique. It's like desert.
Oh, I did see that.
It's pretty badass, actually.
Oh God, here we go again.
I had this sneezing spell last week.
Oh, Jim's got him turned down this time. Good.
You
press up against your upper lip, right below your nose, like really, really hard, or slap your thigh really hard before you sneeze.
I should take a picture of this real quick, not to get distracted. There are 8 people walking together outside my house, right? Just walking right by. They're not 6 feet apart. That pisses me off. Dumbasses. Call Marty Walsh.
You don't live in Boston.
Out here. I know you don't.
You don't live in Boston.
What day is the garbage truck come by, Zoe?
Today. Today's the day. I keep staring at it out there. You want to see it?
If you could swing the camera over when it happens, I think we'd all like to see it.
Okay, when that guy comes. It's one of my favorite parts.
Hell yeah.
So what is it that stood out about this story, about the operation?
That this is that they actually thought they had a shot back in the time, that they could actually put a slap a name tag to this. So much was spun last week that Brady went and recruited them, right, and had to talk to them and convince them, like, all of a sudden he didn't have this market. Maybe there's more of a market out there than what they thought. And the fact Tampa got him is pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, so in the story, there's a lot on Jason Light. And Jason Light being on this conference call with Bruce Arians, where at one point Brady references, without having told him he's coming there, without saying, you know, I want to come to Tampa Bay, during the calls, he said something along the lines of like, yeah, we're going to be pretty good. And they're like, whoa. There was sort of this moment on the call.
It's like a reality check.
Where they looked at each other and realized, oh, my God, he just referred to us as we, as the team is we, as if he were already on the team. And so
that separation occurred in that conference call. Remember that, Beetle, when he called the Patriots they? They always have like what we're like, oh, that one stuck. That one hit us right in the side.
Yeah, I thought there was some interesting stuff. Like one of Brady's Michigan teammates works for the Bucks.
Yeah, the history with Light too, and I don't think a lot of people know how far Light goes back. But Light was here when they drafted Tom, and it wasn't like he stuck here a while. He went to Arizona, and then there was a time at the combine where Belichick saw him and said, "Hey, how about we leave this combine and you're no longer a Cardinal, you become a Patriot again, and leave this combine scouting for the Patriots." But the split was always amicable, and they always had a good working relationship. This isn't like, oh, this guy stole one from Bill here. But, there's some good stuff in the story.
So John Spytek, who is the – what a name, Spytek. Brady and him will get along very well. He's his former college teammate in Michigan. They only crossed over for a year, though. Spytek was younger than Brady. But he is now the director of player personnel for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And so he played for Michigan for one season with Brady. He's the one that gave it the name Shoeless Joe Jackson. He's a huge fan of Field of Dreams. And he called it Operation Shoeless Joe Jackson because landing Brady was as unlikely as Joe Jackson walking out of a cornfield in Iowa.
Hold on.
That was why he said that.
He
said, what are we looking at?
Garbage truck.
Oh.
Do you see it?
Yeah, we see it. Okay. We see it.
Oh, he's got to get out of the truck because I put extra bags on. He's pissed. Attaboy. Get him in there. Don't be dropping anything. All right.
Where's the big arm that you get excited
right
about?
Right here.
So?
It goes up. There it goes.
Oh, look at that
thing. Look at that sucker, man.
Right up in the air, huh?
It was like, it reminds me of Goodfellas, like when they did that, the bodies came out, and that's, whoa, ho, 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 stop the press there.
So that one lifts it, like, way up over the front of the truck, huh?
They might be listening to the show.
They must be.
He's waving. There he is. Yeah, he's waving. There's my man. Nice job, boys. Excellent. He is waving. That is awesome.
Now, tell me if he actually goes and picks up the trash of the other neighbors.
Oh,
or if
he's
just
great.
Or if
that.
He just rushed over to your house.
I don't care if he runs over their damn mailbox. That guy's a winner right there. That's
job. See if he stops at the next house.
He did. He stopped.
He did. All right. So this is just his part of the route.
Yes.
Yeah, that was worth it.
And you're listening to the show. How about that? Oh, you gotta love that.
Yeah, so it's so excited now.
So that made my day. That made my Monday. Guys.
You think he'll honk the horn for you next week?
He does it for Brody. Brody used to get out and wave at him. Yeah. He wanted to be a garbage truck driver, and then the ice cream man came around one day. Then everything changed. He wanted to be an ice cream man driver when he grew up with his dog. I'm like, that dog's probably not going to be around when you're growing up. The kids don't realize that, you know?
Yeah, that's a good life lesson.
Wow. You got all that stuff. That was great. I'm excited
Got all the trash?
No, I'm just excited. Like, he knew, like, where he's waving up in the window and everything.
Oh, yeah.
That made my day. I'm hiding up here.
We're gonna wait for the mailman next.
This is great. I don't care about the mail. Nothing but bills in there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Man, it really is.
That was great.
Clearly.
I'll buy those guys a beer.
All right. The NBA might be coming back sooner than you think, just not in the form you'd probably like it most. You like the game of horse?
Nope.
You got to really like horse to like what the NBA might start to provide you
with
in the coming
days.
They
can take this and shove it with the stupid All-Star game and their dumb slam dunk contest.
All right, then. Zoe's fired up about it. We'll tell you about it next.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Hey.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached, head is matted black, got the boosters black to match, riding on a horse, ha, you can whip your Porsche.
617-779-0985, the phone number. We got open lines, you want to jump on board? Have at it. The NBA is kicking around the idea of playing a game of horse, and they're going to do it by players being in their home gyms.
That'll be fun to watch.
Not playing each
court.
Other over, yeah. Like, video, you know, whatever video conferencing service they want to use. You know, replicate the shots from wherever
We should put waste paper baskets behind the three of us and then take, you know, paper balls, crumple it up, and just throw it over our backs, and that would simulate what they'd be able to do. Same way.
Yeah, I think it would have the same excitement level.
Yeah. I would not want to watch one
bad idea.
Second of this.
If it happens, I won't watch.
Would you watch it? Like, that's not a game.
We did watch it. They tried
horse at in the All-Star game.
I didn't watch it then. Did you?
They've done it three times. They did it in the 77-78 season. Paul Westfall was the winner. And I'm looking at the results here. He finished with H-O. He finished with Ho.
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 In the 08-09 season, Kevin Durant won. He finished with H-O-R-S. So he finished with whores.
He's whores.
And then he was a back-to-back champion in a year where he beat Rajon Rondo. And this is the only one I ever remember watching. Rondo was involved in the 09-10 season. Durant won it again with H-O-R. So he won it with whore. Yeah,
so
correct.
Who won it with ho, who won it with whores, and then who won it with whore?
That would be Westfall, Durant, and Durant. Ho, whores, whore.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ho, whores, whore.
And I watched none of those, and after the fact, the people who did watch it say it sucked.
Yeah.
So why is this the idea? Just because it's like possible, therefore we should do it? We should do anything that's possible? Are we that desperate?
Yes, let's do something.
Speaking of which, did you guys catch any of the video game playing that took place on Friday night?
I did not. The NBA players playing their – did they play themselves?
Yeah, they're playing each other. They're playing each other. And once I saw that the games, the broadcast of each game was going to take like a full hour, I was like, no shot.
What I did actually watch for all 25 seconds of it was Rob Gronkowski winning the WWE 24/7 championship that they put on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's got to be – it's got to be one of the most embarrassing. I don't want to say
that's your guy.
Now even Jimmy Stewart's way. He goes, he's so bad. He's so bad. They're pushing him to be a star there. And he gets up on this platform and sort of falls back and lets like a stage dive, but like they like collapses the whole crowd. You know, and he gets up and pins his buddy Mojo Riley. Yeah, and he's holding the belt up in front of a crowdless arena where there's no noise. And I didn't feel good for him. And I know
dude needs an acting class, doesn't he? He really does.
He's not even good at that. Like that would be.
That's why he would need. That's why he would need a class to be better at doing the wrestling stuff.
So supposedly he did the opening to WrestleMania on was it Friday? No, Saturday night. Right, Saturday night was night one. I just wonder how many takes it took him to get through that. Had to be a lot, because you're not just doing that for one. Because he went on about a 45-second diatribe.
Yeah,
he got through it.
But obviously, I mean, none of us bought the pay-per-view for it, but we've all seen
highlights
of it, and
it's bad.
I don't think it's really bad. Yeah, I don't think it's a fair comparison. You know, wrestling depends on the crowd. More than
the excitement of the crowd, the juice.
Yeah, more than and you know any other. You know, I'll call it a sport for these purposes here, but I mean.
It was getting crushed on Twitter by our regulars.
It doesn't work. It didn't work. And God bless them for trying, for giving people something to watch and something. And they need to make some money. And, you know, these guys want to get paid. And I get it. You know, it's someone's going to have to be the guinea pig on a lot of this stuff. But it was nonstop cringe. Nonstop cringe.
No testing there. They were all tested or cleared or. Were they all in quarantine? Because there was no 6 feet rule there, boy.
No, there was not.
Even they were on top of each other from the beginning, and you know all our guys, Billy Landy, Jimmy Stewart, you know Sarge, crushing it. Joe Murray. This was a big letdown for people. Not that I think they kind of knew what you're walking into and what you're going to watch, but supposedly the matches were not that great. Jimmy Stewart had all the leaked out winners of the matches. I love that you could actually get the results 4 days in advance. My most exciting thing for the week is how many of these they got right. I got all the results.
It's weird. We think we want sports without fans, but then we start watching stuff and it's just
I don't want it. I can't watch basketball in an empty arena.
But do you think that's a fair comparison, Jim? What you know?
Yes,
what WrestleMania looks like compared to what hockey would look like? I mean, let's start with hockey. I think hockey would be the one that is least affected by it. I think you could probably
would you bring an organist in?
No, you want a good crowd. If it's like a Tampa Bay Rays game, if it's a bad crowd.
Guys, I've been watching UMass basketball for two decades since we were any good. Let me just tell you, I feel so good about being able to watch sports with no crowd. Like, dude, it can be done. It can absolutely be done. So you say you wouldn't watch. Have you watched summer league games that are not well attended? You know, even for you watch it for a couple minutes.
With Taco and yeah. The place is packed.
Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. Like I've seen collegiate hockey games on TV before where there's nobody there, but it's still worth watching.
I
don't think the crowd is as big of a deal in the indoor sports, like for regular season stuff. I think it really will become apparent when all of a sudden the game really means something.
You know what I love about the summer league is some of the arenas where it's like you have the lighting and it's during the day and it's like natural light and the whole place is lit up. Like, that's pretty cool. I like that. But I mean, you're playing it from packed small gyms.
I think it's when the games mean something, when it's a playoff game or it's a, you know, in this case, you're talking about championship wrestling. If you were talking about an NBA finals or anything like that, that would be weird. I'm sorry, it would. Regular season, I don't think it's a big deal if you're going to play regular season games. I think it's when you know it's important and you know it counts for a lot and there's no juice from the fans, you're like, that's when things get weird.
Yeah, but
in my mind.
Right. And we've all watched Red Sox Rays games where there haven't been a lot of people there.
Yeah, where there's six people there.
Yeah,
right.
Baseball, it's not going to affect it that much. Regular season hockey doesn't matter that much. If you start getting into playoffs, like I've got something here about one of the ideas that Tom Morgan had given us earlier and Joe Haggerty is writing about now for one of the ideas that they have to have an NHL postseason. Yeah. They'd be in empty arenas. That's when it's going to get weird. And like you said, for another Boston Tampa series, could you imagine the Lightning and Bruins without fans there?
No.
So what do you
no,
do?
No, that's
do
you, where things get weird.
Serious question. Like, do you pump in the music? Do you have Ron Poster there, playing the organ? Do you do the doom, doom, tsh, like with the basketball, the NBA Jam stuff up and down?
Yeah, why
the court?
Not?
You'd have to do that.
Of course.
You can't play it in like a dead quiet arena.
You try and simulate as much of it as you can, except for the huge factor being the fans.
Yeah.
They're going to have to limit the mics, though, because the coaches are not going to want to be on mic. Those mics will pick up the coaches, everything they say.
I think that's the least of our concerns right now. But I'm with you. I mean,
well, it's
sure.
It's a concern for the coaches, and it's a concern just for the TV audio. We've heard stuff, from different features which have had players mic'd up. The players in hockey, I think, put the rest of the league to shame in terms of what they will say to each other and what they'll say to the officials. Those guys work blue. they're not holding anything back.
So
it's like, could you imagine like having everybody on a football field mic'd up the stuff that gets said to these guys?
Yeah, but Hardy, we at some point should get like a waiver. All broadcasters should get like some sort of waiver for this period.
Right.
That anything goes.
Right.
Like anything is cool. FCC, non-essential right now.
Right.
You're shut down. Anything you say, you are in the clear, baby. It is safe harbor all day, every day.
Not just games, including this show too. We had to dump.
Absolutely.
We had to dump Zoe 3 times on Friday alone.
Right. Yeah, no more dumping Zoe.
3 hours. 3 hours. You're just clear on day one. I'm going to be a better broadcaster.
I would say don't abuse it, but let's let it rip,
I love it. I love it when those guys get tackled out of bounds and you have Chuck and Mike and they're right there with our parabolic dishes on the broadcast. A couple F-bombs get out and Bob tries to go, oh, no, I heard that one.
Bob. That's a fleeting expletive. That is currently allowed
that's
under
illegal.
The rules.
That's awesome.
That I is allowed that. Under the rules during live broadcasts of live events.
F you, buddy.
Yeah. Whoops. And Zoe never fails to bring more attention to it.
Bob tries to go right pad. Like, stop, Bob. We finally got an F-bomb legally on air. We're going to talk about it.
Yes. Let's get to the headlines. And when we come back on the other side, got a couple of items, some good that is being done in the world right now by some people in sports. And also, Lee and Quincy's on hold. Let's get an update from Lee and Quincy as well. That's next.